We're going to Exodus 17. Exodus 17, and we're going to be in verse number 8. Very familiar area of scripture. All of us are familiar with that. Be in prayer as well. Coming up in July and August, we're going to have a theme going to be called Ordinary Families Overcoming Extraordinary Obstacles. And going to have Pastor White's going to be teaching some of that. Brother Fred's going to be teaching some of that. Brother Hall's going to be teaching some of that. And we're looking forward to that coming up in August. The kids will be here in July and August, so it'll be a time to challenge the families in those areas. So that's going to be the topic area, the subject area, July and August. Ordinary families overcoming extraordinary obstacles. And many, many families in the Bible that we can look at, and our men will have their choice and picks of the families of the Bible, which is inexhaustible. Amen. Exodus 17. Let's go ahead and stand if you're there already. Exodus 17. We're going to read 8 through 13. Exodus 17, 8 through 13. Again, this is the defeat of Amalek when they came across Joshua and Moses. And very, very familiar area. So I'm going to ask you to read along with me down from verse number 8 all the way to 13. Everybody there say amen. Ooh, man, y'all need to go to Hawaii. You'd get rejuvenated, amen. All right, let's read verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Father, as we look at this area in our outline, Lord, we're looking at cooperation, how it was necessary in Moses' day, and Lord, how it's necessary in the New Testament church as well. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this, we might glean a blessing from it, a reminder from it, Lord, and just understand how cooperation does work effectively, both in the Old and in the New Testaments, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our society, Lord. We all need cooperation. And so I pray that you would encourage our hearts again tonight, instruct us from your word, God, and teach us something new and afresh that, Lord, we can apply to our lives. And help us, Lord, again, to have our ears open, our hearts wide open, and receive the word of God and truly leave differently than when we came in. Thank you for loving us, Lord. And may you get all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we have come down to number 14 here, dealing with cooperation. If I had to have you define cooperation in one word, what would you say? Rose? Submissive? Amen. Ms. Dawson? Unity. Amen. Cooperation. What would you say? One word. Cooperation. Participate? Amen. Terrell? Simultaneous? Amen. Cooperation. Rose? Order. Amen. Yes. Agreeable. Amen. Agreeable, not arguable. Amen. Anything else? Cooperation. By the way, do we need cooperation in marriage? Yes. Do we need cooperation at our jobs? Yes. Do we need it in society? Yes. We need cooperation in almost everything we do, especially parents with children. They need cooperation as well. Amen. Cooperation is everywhere you go. Amen. By the way, if you don't cooperate with the laws of this land, guess where you're going? Jail. Very quickly, amen. You find it happening all the time. Our cooperation, so it is number 14. And this is another one of those parallels that we see both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Notice number 14 says, cooperation, upholding Moses' hands equals type of cooperation in the church. And we're going to look at that. And next week, 15, and we'll be done with this outline and on to another outline. And I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Well, let's notice the text here, first of all. Because what we're looking at here is cooperation. All of the input was good. Amen. Working together is really what cooperation is all about. Working together. Now that's two words, but that's my definition that I'm putting with this. Amen. Working together. Amen. Do you have to have the same ideas to cooperate? No. No, you don't. By the way, different ideas often help cooperation. Amen. There's just one little thing that we need to understand in cooperation. We're going to look at this as we go down here. Amen. By the way, you need different ideas. You need fresh ideas. You need new approaches. Amen. Guess what? If we were still building cars like Henry Ford did, we'd be in bad shape. Amen. And we had to have some new ideas come up. Amen. Their sunroof was not having anything around them. Amen. But now we're enclosed. We got a sunroof that can go back and forth. The moon rooftops can go down. They can come up. Amen. Back in the days, my cousin, his mom had a Bonneville. Remember the Bonneville? And it had one of those convertible tops. But man, you had to unlatch this and unlatch that and pry this and pry that, then hit that button, then it would go, and stop about halfway. You had to kind of thump it, and then it'd go back all the way down, amen. I'm glad for technology. Somebody had to cooperate and say, you know what, I like that new idea. Let me plug that in and make this easier. Pastor Weiss now just got the button. Back in the days, we had the button, but it didn't work good. Amen. Pastor White doesn't have to touch his at all. Just hit that button. You're good to go. Amen. And so cooperation is necessary in everything that we do. Notice in our text, I want to pull out a few points here real quick, and then we'll switch over to the New Testament here. In verse number 8, I want you to see the enemies of God. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Don't you know there's always going to be enemies of God? There's always going to be enemies against you. Amen. Don't you kind of wish sometimes that everybody would just like you? And get along with you and see things your way, amen, and just, you know, say everything's all right with it. You're a good old guy, you're a good old gal, amen. Don't you just wish sometimes that everybody would just get along with you and like your ideas and like what you do, amen? But that's not the case. Everybody's not going to like us. There are going to be some people against us. They've got their Amalek here, amen. So we see the enemies of God. But then in verse number 9, we see the enforcers for God. There's somebody standing against the enemies, amen? And Moses said unto Joshua, notice this, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So the enemies of God are there in verse 8, but then the enforcers for God in verse 9 and verse 10. Notice what it says in verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Anybody see anything in verses 9 and 10 that would go along with that caveat that I was talking about that we need to understand? Anybody see anything so far when you talk about cooperation? What do you see so far in 9 and 10? Joshua cooperated with Moses. Who else cooperated? In verse 9 and 10. No, Naima, he's the enemy. Well, Aaron and Hur, they went to the top of the hill. Yes, they cooperated as well. But there's somebody else that cooperated. Exactly. Somebody had to cooperate with Joshua. Can you imagine Joshua going out there fighting Amalek all by himself? That's not going to work. Amen. Moses said, hey, look, Joshua, go choose out some men. And those men had to cooperate and say, hey, look, the enemies of God are against us. Moses has chosen Joshua, and Joshua, we got your back. We're going to go and fight, amen, because Moses and Aaron, they're going up that way. So cooperation is going on already. Everybody's working this thing out. So we see the enforcers for God, but then notice the effects for God in verse 11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And by the way, how many of y'all think it's hard to hold your hand up? Now, he probably had the rod of God in his hand like this. Holding your hands up for a minute is not hard at all. But have you ever tried holding your hands up for 30 minutes? With nothing in them, just holding your hands up? What's going to get to you sooner or later? Cramps, gravity. Why? Your hands have weight. And although they're small, guess what gravity's going to do sooner or later? And what does the Bible say when his hands went down? So can't you just see Moses' crowd over here and Amalek over here, and they're beating them up, pop, 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 pop. Moses' hands going down, they steady going that way. Pop, 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 pop.
Moses' hands go back up. Pop, 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 pop. They go down. Pop, 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 pop. And they're going back and forth. And Aaron and her head, when his hands go down, we get beat. When his hands go up, we win. One, two, Aaron and her. One Moses. One Joshua. Thousands of fighters. Hands down, we lose. Hands up, we win. One, two. Hey, her. Got an idea here. Why don't we get a rock here? Let Moses sit on that rock. And as Moses sit on that rock, we don't want him to stand up. The man of God, we don't want him to stand up all day. Let him sit down. I tell you what, you get that hand and you lift up that one. And I'll get this hand and lift that one up. And we are in for a good fight. Now, by the way, how long did this fight last? Notice the end of verse 12. His hands were steady until the going down of the what? Sun. So we don't know what time it started, but obviously this is an all-day thing. Can you imagine holding your hands up all day by yourself? On your feet, standing up? What are we talking about here? Cooperation. We see the effects for God. What happened here was it came to pass when Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. Let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. They were smart enough to recognize we've got to work together. We can't do this by ourselves. Joshua's doing his job. The men are fighting, doing their job. Aaron and her, we're up here with Moses. But guess what? We got a job too. Let's hold his hands up. Moses is doing his job. But Aaron and her were there. And guess what? They went to work. Notice the efficiency for God in verse number 12. But Moses' hands were heavy and they, notice that, they, what is that? Cooperation. Took a stone and put it under him and he sat thereon. And Aaron and her, what is that? Cooperation. Stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until when? The going down of the sun. So his hands were steady. That's the efficiency of God. What does that show us right there? That cooperation is needed in our midst, not just in our homes and our jobs, but in the church as well. They needed cooperation here. If they had not had cooperation, what do we surmise would have happened according to what we read? They would have been defeated. All because Aaron said, I don't want to hold up nobody's hand. Why can't I be the general like Joshua? Was that his place? Whose place was that? Joshua's. Or what if Aaron said, look, I'm a priest. I ain't got time to be holding nobody's hands up. I got better things to do. I could be praying. Now, can you pray while you hold your hands up? Amen. Amen. Yeah, you can. Now, let me form this question. How did this cooperation work? How did this cooperation work? Communication, that's good. Yes. Somebody had to be an authority? Submitting to authority, being one, amen. That's good, yes. Humility, all these are good, amen. What else? We're missing one key ingredient. It's awesome. God's power to get, definitely got to have that, amen. You got that when the hands went up, yes. No pride, that's good. And it all works in this one self-same idea. And it works every time in cooperation. Yes, ma'am. They all contributed together. Yes, we're getting hot. Yes. Faith, we're getting hot. Yes. To the glory of God. Amen. We're getting hot. Amen. Misty. Trust. Amen. All that goes with this one thing. Did it ever dawn on you that everybody had a place and everybody had to fulfill their place? It wasn't Moses' place to get down there and fight. It wasn't Aaron or Hur's job to get down there and fight. Neither was it Joshua's place to get up there and hold up Moses and Aaron's hand. Everybody had their place. In every instance of cooperation, everybody has to have a place and they have to function and fulfill their place. Moses had his place. Aaron had his place. Hur had his place. Joshua had his place. The soldiers had their places. Everybody had to function in their place together. And that's what we call cooperation. And it was a combined effort. Because Aaron and Hur were in their place, they could assist Moses. And because Moses was in his place, he could assist Joshua. And because Joshua was in his place, he could direct the armies. And because all of them cooperated, the battle was won. And folks, it works the same way in the New Testament. Go over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. What am I talking about here? Cooperation. The upholding of Moses' hands equals a type of cooperation in the church. Why? It's similar. Philippians chapter number 1. And over in Philippians chapter number 1, let's come down here. We talk about the striving for the faith. Notice what he says down there in verse 24 in chapter number 1. He says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Now, notice what he says in verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. What is he saying? He's saying it's better for me to be in the flesh and not die and go to heaven just yet, because I can assist you. We can work together. And then notice what he says in verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Notice this, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, doing what? Striving how? Together for the faith of the gospel. He said, I want you guys to work together with me for the gospel's sake. By the way, that phrase, strive together, means to wrestle in company with someone, to seek jointly, or to labor with someone. Paul said, I want you to do what you do there whilst I do what I do here until I come there again. Amen. Why? He had already been there. And he said, keep doing what you're doing there, because I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing here. What are we doing? We're cooperating. You're striving for the gospel there where you're at. I'm striving forward here. And God may bring us back together, but we're working together in this thing. And that's what we're talking about here. Go with Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And show you the same principle that we're looking at. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, and notice what he says here in verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the, what's that word? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When you look up that word unity, it says oneness. How many got a smartphone? Anybody got a smartphone? Tony, look up the word called unanimity. Because if you look up the Strong's Concordance, it'll give you that word, unanimity, U-N-A, unanimity, N-I-M-I-T-Y, unanimity. That is the word. I had to look that word up. I thought, what in the world? Unanimity, what does that word mean? What does it say? Unanimity? Amen. So unanimity, basically working together. It's a consensus. We all are in this together. So when you look up the word unity, what Paul says down there in verse number 20, number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity, it's unanimity, or it's a oneness. It's a togetherness by all parties involved. It's a consensus. And then he says down there, I want you to endeavor, guys at Ephesus, to keep the unity or the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then notice what he says. There is how many? One body and what? One Spirit, even as you're called in what? One hope of your calling.
Verse 5, what? One Lord. How many faiths? One faith. How many baptisms? One baptism. How many gods? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What is that? Cooperation. He said, let's get this thing together. Hey, we're going down for the furtherance of the gospel. Go over to Psalm 130. No, as a matter of fact, come down to verse number 13. This is when he's talking about giving out the gifts to everybody here. Notice verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He's saying, I gave these gifts to the church. And by the way, each one had to fulfill their function. Andrew, you've got a job, right? Everybody's supposed to fill their function, right? Sometimes your functions overlap at times. Yeah, exactly. I'm doing this, but I may be called upon to do this. That's still where within my jurisdiction to do so. Amen. And so whenever you have a job to do, it's got to be done together with cooperation, with unity. And he says, I gave some pastors and they had a job. I gave some teachers. They had a job. Evangelists had a job. The prophets had a job. The apostles had a job. What is that job? Verse number 12. For the perfecting of the who? The saints. For the what? The work of the ministry. Is that not what happened in Exodus? Did they not work? Amen. Everybody worked together. Amen. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or the building up of the Christians. How long should we do that, Paul? Verse 13. Till we all come in the, what's that word? Unity of the faith, until we're all believing the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, until we're all believing the same thing about what we are here to do, and that is win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a witness, amen, and we work together. And not everybody has the same function. Not everybody has the same job. And so when you look at this, by the way, when you look at the church, there's a pastor. The pastor has a job to do. Can other people do what the pastor does? Yes, but they're not called to be the pastor. Amen. There is one pastor, when I'm not here, who is the assistant pastor, Pastor White. And Pastor White does exactly what I do when I'm not here. When I'm here, I mean. He does exactly what I do when I'm here. That's his role. There's one pastor's wife. Guess what? She has a function. She has a role, and she fulfills her role. When she is gone, guess what? Mrs. White is there to fill in, amen? But whilst I'm here and whilst Mrs. Dawson is here, guess what? Pastor White's over here on a lateral wing saying, all right, preacher, I got you. We're in this thing. I'm your Aaron. I'm your her. I got your back. I'm here to hold your hands up. But when I'm gone, guess what? Then he comes over here, and the deacon's got to help him out. And they got to uphold his hands. Why? Because I'm not here. And so when you look at this beautiful picture here, he says, hey, this is working for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we all come into this unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you know what's ruined most of Christianity in America today? Cooperation. Cooperation. People do not want to get in and fulfill their function. They want to take somebody else's function. Well, I don't want to be a toilet scrubber. I don't want to be a broom sweeper. I don't want to be cleaning out the baby potties. I wanted to be an usher. I don't want to be an usher. I want to count the money. Wait, tithing, you can be that. Oh, I don't want to be this. Cooperation. Everybody in the Old Testament had a function, and they fulfilled their function. Guess what? They were successful. Folks, the same way they were successful is the same way we can be successful. Everybody cooperates. I love Rose's humility. She comes in and she's a great teacher. She says, oh, you know, I can't do this. And bless her heart, she does such a great job. But just the spirit of humility, the spirit of humility about it. Amen. And cooperation. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to do. I was talking to somebody the other day. She said, look, whatever you want me to do. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Praise God for that mentality. Amen. That's cooperation. That's unity. Amen. So how does this unity come about? Amen. Everybody must know his or her place and function in their place, like Aaron did, like her did, like Moses did, like Joshua did, like the soldiers did. Amen. Working together. Go over to Psalms 133 real quick. Psalm 133. Psalms 133, And notice what Psalm 133 says. We've read this before. That same word that we're looking at is called unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in, what's the word? Unity. That word unity means a unit or unitedly or together. And so back in the Old Testament, when Exodus was there and Amalek came out, it was necessary for them to work together. But folks, in order to work together, you got to know what your function is. Let's use the illustration of a car. It takes a lot of parts to make a car, doesn't it? It takes a steering wheel, takes wheels, takes windshield wipers, amen, takes a hood, takes battery. Guess what? If one of those decides not to function that day, what if your tire decides not to function and goes flat? What's going to happen? No cooperation. What if your battery just says, I'm not going to start today. That's it. I'm dead. Where's your car going? Nowhere. Why? It takes a battery. It takes a steering wheel. It takes lights. It takes an accelerator. It takes some brake. What if your brakes say, I'm not working today? That's it. I'm out. I'm not working. What if your steering wheel says, I'm not turning today? That's it. I give up. I'm not turning. Amen. Amen. What am I saying? All the parts need to work together. How many ever had a starter go out? What happens when your starter goes out? Yeah, you do have to pay a lot of money, amen. Your car's not going to start, amen. You can kind of bridge it and get those metal things and make it start, but sooner or later, it's not going to start. What happens if your alternator goes out? Sooner or later, your battery's not going to be charged, and it's going to go dead. What am I saying? It takes a lot of different parts of a car to make the one car work as one unit, but they all have to work together. They don't work together, something's going to go awry. And I know you probably say, well, I don't know a whole lot about cars, amen. I don't either, but I know I can drive one, amen. And I know when something is wrong with one. And so when it comes down to this, everybody must know his or her place and function therein. My question to you tonight is, do you know your place and are you functioning in it? Do you know your place and are you functioning in it? Are you giving your gift to the local church like you should? And are you functioning in it? And are you available when we need you? Now, praise God, we haven't had children for a long time, and I'm glad children are coming back in. But we've had some available ladies that say, you know what, I'm going to step in there. It may not be my time, but I'm going to step on in there. And some of the kids have not been the kindest of kids. Amen. And maybe they need a little bit more home training. But guess what? The ladies didn't care. They stepped in there anyway. What am I talking about? I've got to have people that are going to work together in the place that they function best. And sometimes we have to work outside of the place that I'm assigned. Pastor White, I'd love to usher every service. I'd love it. I'd love to sit back there and greet people when they come in and welcome them. I'd love to do that and sit there at the door. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Shining Light Baptist Church. Hey, if you're first time, I did that at Belgium as much as I could. Then they made me the song leader and I couldn't do it anymore. And it broke my heart. I mean, I just wanted to stand at that door and greet people when they came in and let them know I was glad to see them. But I couldn't do it. I love doing that. God said, no, I got nothing function for you. You're going to go someplace else. And guess what I had to do? I had to cooperate. Me and my wife got snatched out of the teen class as teachers. I mean, out of the adult class to go teach teenagers. I thought, I don't want to go teach teenagers. I want to stay in this class. There's good cooperation here. But guess what? We had to cooperate and go where the need was at. What am I saying? In order for Moses to be successful, he needed Joshua to be cooperative. Joshua needed his soldiers to be cooperative. Aaron and Hur needed to see the need and cooperate to help Moses out for the battle. Folks, in the New Testament, it's the same way. The pastor's there to guide the church. His wife is there to help him out. We've got deacons there that assist us. Got an assistant pastor, an assistant pastor's wife when we're not there to step in and fill the gap, amen, and to function together. And we need everybody to come on board and say, I can help with this. I can help with that. I praise God for the ladies that bring snacks. And so does my son Joshua, too. Amen. I praise God for the ladies that bring snacks. Now, I very rarely get a chance to get in here. But Tasha, bless her heart, she gave me some of her brunette bars on Sunday. And I had some, and I took a picture and said, Steve Bruner, eat your heart out. Amen. He said, she can't do that. That's plagiarism. Bless his heart. I said, I don't care what it was. It was good. Amen. And praise God for people that bring the snacks. Praise God for the ladies that volunteer to clear the ladies' bathroom. We're working together. We need that. Praise God for the halls over there right now, out of pocket there, teaching the kids class. Amen. Praise God. Brother Gary comes in. Pastor, what do you want me to do? I said, brother, can you vacuum those carpets? And vacuuming those carpets. Praise God. Everybody can function in some capacity. And folks, guess what? This is an unsung ministry, the van ministry. Brother Fred and Tony go back and forth here and there, hither and yon to pick folk up. Sometimes they don't come. Sometimes they got to call them up. Sometimes they got to wait for them. And man, that's a thankless job that they do. They have to leave the fellowship right after service to take people home, then come back and everybody's gone. But guess what? We need them to function. They're the wheels. They're the wheels. Hey, the nursery, we need that to free up moms. And guess what? That's another arm of the ministry. So now I've got parents in here that know their children are being taken care of while they can hear the word of God. That's a necessity. G2 and Tasha play the piano back there. And Terrell's going to be learning next. Terrell's like, they didn't give me that memo on that. What am I saying? Working together. Everybody's needed. But you've got to know what your capacity is. And you got to know what your function is. And you can do more than one thing. I said this before, and would to God it could be true. I would to God everybody had one ministry. And that's all you did was your one ministry. And you did the best of your ability. We're not big enough for that. I wish we were. I'd say, man, you've got that ministry, and that's all you're going to do. You got that ministry, that's all you're going to do. You got that ministry. And if we had thousands of people, we could do that. Everybody had one ministry. But because we don't, we've got to wear several hats. And we've got to do many different things. And it all is going to be stemming from cooperation. The way they upheld Moses' hands is the same type of cooperation that we need in the church so that we can strive together for the faith of the gospel so that people can get saved. I saw that young couple here on Sunday night, and I said, Mrs. Dawson, would you check and see if she needs nursery? And Mrs. Dawson checked with her, and sure enough, she didn't mind the child going over there. And praise God, the child went. Child went, amen. And so the couple could sit here and listen Sunday night because we had Mrs. White that was going to work together and help out to secure the baby and make sure the baby was good to go. And we didn't hear any yells or screams over there, so we knew Mrs. White was okay, amen. The baby was pacified, amen. What about saying, folks, we have to really make a concerted effort to pray for each other, that we can work together. And it will involve humility. It will involve submissiveness. It will involve togetherness. It will involve looking to see what needs to be done. It will need to involve working together. I'm the wheel. I'm the alternator. Hey, I'm the starter. Hey, I'm the battery. Looking to see what you can do. And then do what you do to the glory of God. Because that's what it's all about. Paul said, look, striving together. You doing it over there. I'm doing it over here. But we're striving together for the faith. The gospel. Folks, as we leave here tonight, just think about your position that you are in right now, whether it's multiple or whether it's one. Are you willing to work together and then do more than maybe what's your call to do? Because that's what it takes. That's what it takes, folks. I don't mind rolling up my sleeve and sweeping the carpet. Brother Fred saw me sweeping the carpet the other day. Pastor, don't sweep the carpets. I don't mind sweeping the carpets. I don't mind beating them out. I don't mind vacuuming. It doesn't bother me a bit. Why? Working together. Working together. Amen. And so ask God, Lord, what is it that you want me to do so that I can work together? And that I can be in this striving together for the faith of the gospel. There's a Moses. There's an Aaron. There's a Hur. There's a Joshua. There's a soldier. There's a Paul. There's a Philippi. They're all there. What's your role? Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. And Lord, help us to really see and seek your face to understand what is our part, Lord. We see Moses and all those surrounding him and what you had them to do. We see Paul and the church at Philippi and what you had them to do. And Lord, we see that you gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. Lord, you gave the deacons, and Lord, you gave all those that work together. God, help us to do our part to be accounted for righteousness' sake. We thank you, Lord, and love you for the examples that we can see
both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Lord, help us to leave here inquiring what it is that we can do to make this whole church a better place to be in, because we're all striving together for the faith of the gospel, Lord. And thank you so much for the leadership you've given and the Holy Spirit that empowers us, and help us now just do our part, and Lord, for your honor and your glory. We thank you, Lord, blessing our time of prayer now. And as we meet the needs and give those needs up to you, Lord, I pray that you would continue to fulfill those blessings as we stand on the promises of God. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Ladies, we'll have you stay in here because I think it's going to be too hot for you guys in the auditorium. Men, we can find a place out in the foyer there. And